welcome to the award-winning Arsens Atheist, where reason reigns supreme, not frogs and fish. Today's episode brought to you by billions of years of evolution. Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the inner tubes, and from our other hit podcast, Skeptically Yours. You can find links to our guest website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, subscribe to our premium ad-free 90 minutes full-length episodes, and our email at ardentatheist.com.
If you'd like to take part in a live chat moderated by the author of the well-known blog, Hit and Miss, and we gotta change this on Comedy Obscura is his new blog.
Yeah.
Joe Swam, go to ardentatheist.com/live and chat us up right now.
And please go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast for free, write a review, help us get up there in the top 10. You may also go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe to our premium ad-free content for a measly $10 per year.
Subscribe now or I'll wash your brain.
How are you going to wash their brains?
You want to get sued?
What are you, nuts?
I'll see you in court, spectator.
What the hell?
There's no hell, just a volcano full of tortured souls.
Sounds like hell to me.
You're such a suppressive.
You're a fucking alien.
Damn right. We only have two rules on the show. Rule number one, guests may plug anything they want. We're not hypocrites. Go subscribe.
And rule number two, if your listener's ever been offended by anything, get a sledgehammer and destroy your computer now. The show has no restrictions on language or content and certainly has nothing for you, L. Ron Blubbard. We're coming to you live from E&H Studios in sunny Studio City, California. In the Studio City tonight, we have Travis Pignon. And Maurice Northomb.
Bonjour.
And we will refer to the other as Paula. You know these folks from showbiz.
The other. Wait, the other?
That's right.
The other.
Paula does not want to be, she's not using her real name.
Okay.
You know why? There's a really good reason why. We're talking about fucking Scientology.
Yeah,
and they're psychotic cunts. Shit, I've done it. My name is Maurice Northup. I just said that.
No.
What happened?
Well, if you're going to pretend to be me, you've talked for 2 minutes and not complained about the police.
Right, yeah.
How can you possibly be me?
So, Travis, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
How are you? I hear you've been on a trip.
Yeah, I just got back from Paris, so I'm like,
oh,
really
gay Paris.
Indeed.
Get close to that mic.
I don't think he's gay. He's not gay. Why'd you call him gay?
Paris
is
gay.
Well, it depends if rent's due.
So, I understand that you, sir, were raised a Scientologist.
I was.
I was tickled pink when Maurice called me and said, I know a guy who was raised a Scientologist.
I tickled him.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah, actually, there's a really great book out right now by an author by the name of Lawrence Wright. He's a Pulitzer Prize winner for his research. It's called Going Clear. There's a whole chapter in there about myself, my mother, and my sister.
Oh, really?
Wow.
And, I was born into it. My mother was one of the heads of PR for Church Scientology in the 1970s.
Yikes.
And my father was...
She was like a Goebbels.
She was, yeah, kind of a Goebbels, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but a little more personality.
Yeah, I'm sure, like, probably a better baker.
Yeah, indeed.
What are you saying? Goebbels couldn't bake?
More ingredients.
You're right. Maybe Goebbels.
I think he knew how to cook pretty well.
My Bundt cake was very good.
But yeah, so, you know, I mean, when I was a kid, I had to go on course and do all that shit and sit in saunas and eat fucking ice and pills and, you know, like all that stuff they do so you can eventually be clear. And I think when they say clear, they mean clear of money.
Oh, really? That bad, huh?
Well, it can be pretty bad. I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. I know Scientologists today who are some friends of mine who...
Some of my best friends are Scientologists.
Right, exactly.
Right?
But the thing is, like, it's interesting with the generational gap because Scientologists my age, like, technically they're not even supposed to talk to me, but they do. Because I think they were in the Sea Org, which my mother was also in the Sea Org at one time.
Let's explain what the Sea Org is.
The Sea Org is basically it's organized. It's basically slave labor with airline outfits. And
at least they get the cute outfits.
I wouldn't go as far as say cute.
No,
but,
not cute.
Maybe depends on the person.
Yeah,
if you're into a person in uniform.
What was that? Civil Air Patrol. It's like the
I don't know. But anyway, it was based on L. Ron Hubbard had this ship. Off of I forget which coast. It was in international waters, so you do what you wanted. But it was based on that. It was kind of like naval,
evading the IRS.
Yeah, well, that too. Army. But anyway, so she was in the Sea Org, and she was John Travolta's handler. And a handler is basically somebody like if you have any doubts about something, they kind of put your ass in check, and they kind of like suck you back in. And
that's like me to Emery.
Yes. Yeah.
Heather is my handler.
Yeah, except. I don't think she did the hand job thing.
Yeah, right.
But anyway.
I didn't.
Oh, okay. I thought you guys were a couple.
Yeah, we are.
Oh, well.
I still don't do it.
Well, you should.
I never do it.
She still never jacks me off with her hand.
Oh, like a lady.
Why?
Anyway,
why watch a movie any other way?
Long story short is she started asking questions she shouldn't have asked, and I don't know what they were, but she was pregnant with me at the time. She was put in a prison camp on, you know, the blue buildings on Fountain?
Yes.
So there was a whole bunch of people, it was about 100 of them, who were stuck in this thing called the RPF, which is the Rehabilitation Project Force. And so she was stuck there, and it's basically slave labor, like hardcore. So she was working 33-hour days, being fed table scraps. And so when I was born, she literally had to escape. Because she had a guy like watching over all the time, because she had so much clout with these celebrities who she persuaded to come in Scientology, like John Travolta, Priscilla Presley, and so on and so forth. So she ended up literally having to escape because my sister was being held in a place across the street. And she had scarlet fever, and they didn't like provide medical attention. I mean, these kids were kept in conditions with like cots, like mattresses soaked with urine. And my sister's eyes were like crusted shut. So my mother somehow got to a phone and called, I think it was at the time, John Travolta's assistant, where no one had heard from my mother in 7 months at all, and said, "Be here at this place this time," hung up, and just hoped she would show up. So she said that she really needed my sister to get medical attention, that her mother, her sister-in-law was going to come pick up my sister. So as the car pulls up, my mom's just grateful the car did. She has my sister in hand. She's pregnant with me. She opens the door. The guy's standing like right above her. She sits down with like one of her legs out and says, "When I shut this door, you just fucking go and you don't stop for anything." So as she pretended like she was going to hand the baby over and like step out of the car, so the guy took a step back. She slammed the door. They took off, and she went into hiding.
Wow.
And when I was – so not long after that, I was born, but I was really sick because of the conditions that she was kept in, and I was 3 pounds full term. And what? I have this scar on my arm that I was showing Emery earlier where they had to put a tube to pump my heart because I was so small that the blood wouldn't circulate through my veins.
Right.
And, you know, and so the first 6 months of my life, I was like in an incubator, and they were saying, "He's probably not going to live, like 80% chance he's going to die. And if he does, he's going to be all kinds of retarded." And thank God I'm not that retarded today. But
but he's got heart.
But right? I have heart, yeah. Yeah.
So where's Dad during all this?
He was, still involved with Scientology, and he... was just doing his thing, but he was, so he found out where my mom was, and my mom just said, "Listen, tell L. Ron Hubbard, just leave me the fuck alone, or I'll go to the feds." So L. Ron Hubbard just like give her whatever she wants. She said, "I don't want anything. I just want to be left alone." And not long after that, I guess maybe 4 or 5 years, my parents split up because, she was declared an SP, which is a suppressive person. Yeah. And my father basically bailed on us after she paid all the bills and put him through law school.
Religion's so nice.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It
really brings the people together.
This sounds like science fiction. Well, this whole story sounds crazy.
But it's not just religion. It's like that pyramid thing. There's like this...
we know that Scientology is...
Like, to me, Scientology is like... If I could somehow skull fuck Amway and fucking Catholicism together, I could... I got a gig here.
But you have to realize, a lot of Scientologists, some are some really fucked up people. I think like in any religion, some are really good people. But the thing is, when someone comes to you and says, "I have the easy answers to life," it sounds appealing. And I think a lot of people...
You do?
I do. I have a lot of great.
I need to hear them.
And for only half the price...
Really?
I will tell you all the secrets.
Nice. Travisology.
But it's just, I could see why it could appeal to people. And not to mention the fact that there's also... a lot of very intelligent people end up in situations as such because they think they're smart enough that they would not get duped. And so I understand how people can be drawn into it, and like it sounds appealing, and now that they, trot around the celebrity Scientologists, like whatever six are fucking there.
Right.
I understand why it could sound appealing. And and a lot of the information is good information, it's just plagiarized. It's nothing that L. Ron Hubbard came up with on his own. It's all fucking plagiarized. It's nothing you can't learn from.
He didn't make up Xenu?
Well, he made up shit. Yeah. Okay. I'm talking about like certain texts that they use, like, you don't understand a word.
Wait, I have
grab a dictionary
I have a
and look it up. No fucking shit. People pay money for this shit. Right. Well, that's fucking mind-boggling.
So, like, when you were a kid at school, did you tell other kids you were a Scientologist, or did you just like,
No, you know what's funny? No, because it's actually a church. In fact, it's a godless religion, which you got to at least give them a hand for that. but the thing is it's funny because there are certain terminologies Scientologists use, and I would talk sometimes with these terminologies, and people would be like, what the fuck does that mean? You know, what are you saying? And
like, give it a sentence.
All right, for instance, like if we're talking and she interrupts me, I say, you cut my comm.
Like, what does that mean?
Cut your line of communication. Cut my comm.
Very military.
Someone interrupt me and I'd say, don't cut my comm. They're like, what the fuck are you talking about? But that's a very Scientology, that's a Scientology term.
Yeah.
And so like things like that, like people would always think, I didn't know was wrong at the time or, you know, not common or.
Yeah, it's normal to you.
Culty.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. But now.
What were other terms? Like what were
did
other
you use a term like misunderstood? Because you were talking about the dictionary. They're called misunderstoods when you go past a word you don't understand.
I mean, I'm familiar with the term. Mm-hmm. I never actually used it because I was a child at the time, mm-hmm. so I never really, like, I never went that far on course. I mean, I did a...
He didn't have
TRs,
no money to spend.
The TRs. Yeah, huh, here's
you were
my,
born so into
you,
it.
You went through the training routine.
Labor.
You
here's
went through
my
the
lunch
training
money.
Routines,
you were
but
just
your mom was
labor
declared an SB when you were five. So how did you get brought back
well,
in?
Well, my father said I want him to do courses and stuff. So, I mean, because we had interaction until my early teens, and then he basically told me that he didn't want to, he couldn't talk to me anymore.
So your dad has met David Miscavige?
Probably. I mean, I've seen pictures of them together.
Who's okay. that?
David Miscavige is the current leader.
He was Frodo
of
in Lord of the Rings.
He was actually probably more of a Gollum.
Yeah.
Yeah, my precious.
So your mom got out. Your dad, is divorce allowed in...
it's encouraged.
I mean...
It's encouraged?
Especially to an SP. Well, I think already they gotten divorced by the time we completely cut communication. Like, my mom pretty much paid all the bills, put him through law school. And I'm not going to try. Yeah, and he graduated law school.
What did she do?
She?
Yeah.
Well, at the time, she just did whatever she had to. She sold flowers on the side of the freeway. She did whatever she had to do to make ends meet.
To put him through law school.
And pay all the rent and all the bills and take care of two kids.
Yeah, you don't hear about hippies putting people through law school very often.
That is true. That is
true. Wow, yeah, that's...
Patchouli's not
I would put that on a fucking resume.
At Harvard.
Yeah. If I was looking for a job, I'm like, well, I was briefly a member of a cult. And I financed this douchebag's fucking law degree.
Well, I mean
that to me is like, well, you're out of the cult now? Oh, yeah, it's a cult. But I financed his law degree while in a cult.
Now we understand
that to
why.
Me, I'm like, I want you to manage this. I'm going to cut your budget. But I want you to run this department more effectively than
now we understand why Maurice walked in going, yeah, what'd you say today? What'd you do today? Tell us what you did. Where were you today?
Oh, are you making fun of my...
Where
my,
were you
my,
today?
My,
where were you?
Proclivity?
Where were you?
Free personality test?
No, today...
Well, I had an interview.
That's exactly right. He's looking for a job. And now we understand why Maurice is looking for a job. I want to see your fucking resume. Because I'm pretty sure there's shit on there that shouldn't be there. That's all I'm trying to say.
Actually, my resume is a very selective assortment of truth.
Why would you be any different than anyone else? You don't get rich... Writing science fiction, you get rich. if you want to get rich, you start a religion. Does anyone know who said
so,
that?
So, do you have
does
any
anyone know who said that?
Was it
that was L. Ron Hubbard?
It's a quote from L. Ron Hubbard.
That was apocryphal.
Very nice. Very
it's
nice.
It's apocryphal.
Yeah.
I'm still skeptic.
Is it apocryphal?
I'm still skeptic that it's 100% true, but it's possible it happened.
Yeah.
Paula, were you ever forced out of a religion?
He posted it on Facebook.
I was never forced out of religion. I went straight from Catholic to atheist.
Okay.
After fourth grade Catholic school.
That was it.
That was straight trajectory.
Are you a non-believer now, Travis? It's going to be, this show's all Travis, 24 hours, 7 days a week.
No, he's got great stories.
I believe that adults with imaginary friends are fucking idiots.
There you go. All right. I dig that. I don't know why we're not hearing the audio.
There we go.
Everything's messed up. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sure it's probably because the Scientologists have tapped into our fucking system. You're listening to Ardent Atheist, ardentatheist.com, at ardentatheist.com, and available at the iTunes Store. More after this unavoidable interruption.
We've had a lot of people ask us about the comedy sketch clips that we play from the Vile comedy album Chaos Radio, so we are making it available to you. You can buy your favorite tracks from the 23-track record individually for $1, or you can buy the entire recording for $18. Go to gumroad.com/EmeryEmery. That's GUM as in Merchant of Chaos. ROAD.com/Emery and buy the damn thing.
How many Scientologists does it take to change a light bulb?
7. 1 to hold the light bulb and 6 to make the universe go around.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest. Or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
And now, back to ardent atheist nonsense you can believe in. We're talking with Travis Pignon, Maurice Northup, and Paula. Thank you very much for being here, everybody. I'm really intrigued by this. I've been wanting forever, by the way, to get a Scientologist on. It really
ex-Scientologist.
Yeah, that's our rumor start.
My apologies. Once a Scientologist, always a.
Wait a minute. No. If his dad was Black Ops, he could be a mole. I always like pretending to be an atheist.
Yeah, that's what he would do. He would come on the show and
like he could be totally like.
Yeah, I'm a plant.
Ann Archer's
kid.
To
as a plant.
What's his name? Davis. What's his name? That little prick.
Ann Archer. I don't fucking know.
Oh, man.
I think that Maurice
Tommy
is hitting
Davis.
The paranoia.
No. Tommy Davis. Tommy Davis.
Your paranoia is kicking in.
It's not paranoia. Watch a video of that guy.
We haven't heard from Tommy in
Tommy
quite some
Davis
time.
Tommy Davis is a class A cunt bag. And any video you see of him, he's like a, what's that guy, the O'Keefe guy that does the fake videos?
Michael O'Keefe? Is it
James O'Keefe?
James O'Keefe, the guy that does the videos for the right wingers,
yeah,
you know, the
like
douchebag.
Breitbart and all that.
The Breitbart.
I love his cunt art.
Yeah, so Tommy Davis is the Scientology version of that guy. Just like the douchiest cunt bag that you can have.
Yeah.
Just say right wingers.
I know
the point.
I know a really, really big producer. I work for a couple big producers in town. And
One day
we were having lunch in his office. I was working on his computer, actually, so I'm not really dropping much here. I was in his office, and I was working, and he offered to get lunch for me, and we sat and we ate. And he shared with me that he had gotten a call on a phone line that – I've talked about this on the show before – on a phone line that nobody has the number to. He said the only two people who have the number – to this line, it's his emergency red hotline. It's if there's a problem with the production, this is the one his assistant calls. No one else has it. He doesn't give it out. That fucking phone rang. He didn't know how they got it. Picked up the phone. It's Scientology.
Saying what?
They're saying, why don't you come back? Where are you? We miss you. We want you back.
Wow.
And he's like, how did you get this number? And they're like, they actually said to him, there is no number we can't get.
He said, don't ever take sides against a family again.
Yeah. It's really pretty much what it was. That's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
He said, never call this number again. I haven't followed up with him. This was many months ago, actually. And I need to ask him if he's ever heard from him again. But it was creepy. And I asked him. I mean, the guy's worth millions. And I said, why don't you...
That's why they called him.
That is why they called him.
Yeah.
I said, why don't
the 80s.
Why don't you stand up to him? He goes, they drain me. He goes, I don't want to give up my money to those.
Yeah. Bastards. I don't even give money to people I do like.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Right.
Like, that's the last thing I would do.
Yeah. He said that they keep you in court. If they threaten me, even if they threaten me, I wouldn't go after them. He goes, it's not worth it.
It's not. I mean, they'll make your life. I grew up, put it like this, man. I grew up We used to have our fucking tires slashed and, like, such Gestapo tactics. Our garbage gone through, like, followed all the time. We'd walk out of the house. People were just taking your fucking picture, like, just to fucking harass you.
What was your dad's role in Scientology? We know what your mom did.
Well, my father, to my knowledge, basically would take part in orchestrating, it's kind of like the CIA for the church. Basically, okay. People who would speak out against the church who fell under something called fair game policy, which fair game policy, if you're not familiar with it, if you speak out against the church or leave the church, you're declared an SP. And if you're an SP, you fall under something called fair game policy, which means you could be lied to, maimed, framed, and or destroyed by any means necessary. So what they would do is pretty much orchestrate, plant, frame people for crimes and bomb threats, whatever the case. Clearwater, Florida, perfect example. When Scientology first started opening up their stuff in Clearwater, Florida, the mayor spoke out against them. So what they did was they framed him on a hit and run, and all these witnesses were actually Scientologists. I'm not sure of the date, but the FBI had raided the church Scientology and found all this information that it was all set up, and a bunch of people were debarred. My father was never actually connected to it, and I don't know if he actually was. But I know that all his peers and all the people who he associated with were. But
so thou shalt nigh, thou shalt not lie is not one of the things that
Ron Hubbard's own son was a troubled alcoholic. His father was very abusive and was speaking against the church and said he was going to come out with an expose. He was going to expose the church.
And he was found murdered in Vegas.
It was ruled a suicide.
It was ruled suicide, but he was found with... it's actually in the book, Lawrence Wright's book.
It's a preposterous suicide.
It was found, like, in some parking lot by the Vegas airport with, like, a bunch of stuff shoved up his rectum and, like totally fucking
rectum
brutal.
Rectum shit, it nearly killed him. No, it actually
murdered,
killed
brutally
him.
So, yeah, he sodomized himself before he shot himself.
That's
probably how I'm going out. I just want to make it very clear.
I call that Thursday.
Hey, I got your email, and I got your back, bro.
Yeah,
I mean, but it's just, all that... the amount of information that I possess in regards to Scientology is limited more to my personal experience.
Right.
But the thing is, like, I'm telling you, that book is a fucking tell-all, and it's amazing. I mean, it's slow read. The first 100 pages can be a little, like, ugh.
So let me get clarification on some things that I'm sure people are wondering. Your mom was pregnant when she got out of the religion.
When she physically left, she mentally left, was about 1984.
That's exactly what I was getting.
And how old are you?
So you were raised 35. You were raised to believe. When were you born?
79. March 1st.
So you were raised to believe until 84 in the Scientology philosophy.
Even after that,
the belief system.
Even after that.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
So your mom.
But also, I was kind of raised Catholic because my mother's Mexican, and so we.
Orale, woo!
Don't be a racist prick.
No. Yo no estoy racista, amigo. Yo me gusta mucho la gente latina.
Thank you. So anyway, I don't know. We had a tea party member.
You know, right?
No. Yo trabajar siempre en restaurantes,
will you cut it out?
Hotels?
You know, we're just about to have the whole show.
I'm coming
show.
Out. I'm Mexican. I'm
we're just about
I'm
to
a
have
closet,
the whole show transcribed
Mexican.
For the deaf, and now you're doing shit they can't even fucking understand. Will you
I'm
cut
a,
it out?
Yeah. I'm a closet Mexican.
You're a closet Mexican.
You're a Clexican.
She mentally kind of started left in 1984 and started going to therapy and kind of dealing with a lot of her shit. And I mean, my mother is an amazing woman. She's you know, we've had our issues, and you know, the thing is though, like, I couldn't even fathom trying to realize that every single thing that you've known as true to be bullshit, and like how you deal with that. But she went on, you know, single parent Latina, never went to college. She went on to create an incredibly successful life for herself. And, you know, she's a millionaire doing her thing, fucking handling her shit. And, you know, and my father is very successful as well, but from what I've heard, he's given an excess of like 20 something million to the church over the past 15, 20, 30 years.
Jeez.
And he didn't talk to me for a long time. And
are you communicating with him now?
We are. I actually saw him today.
Okay.
See, what happened was I had written.
What happened was? Yeah.
Sorry. What had happened was?
You said the D too hard.
Sorry.
You call yourself half Mexican?
Comes out sometimes. we had he had stopped talking to me basically because of course, I have a relationship with my mother. I hadn't spoken to him in years, and then he also told his mother, who is my grandmother, that, all right, you have a relationship with them, meaning myself, my sister, my mom, or with me, can't have both. So she chose him. That's her that's her son, whatever, cool. So one day, I'm living in New York at this point. I've been doing stand-up for a while, and I just looked her up, and I called her, and she started bawling, and she's a born-again Christian, which, whatever.
But, out of the frying pan.
Anyway, but so she
onto the cross.
She talked to my father. So I get this letter from my father one day and just kind of tell me about his life and, you know, about my little brother. And I have a half-brother with his second marriage. So he just basically, you know, tell me about his life. And it was like 3-4 pages. And he just said at the end of the letter, well, you know, if you ever want to have a relationship, great. But just you can't ever talk to your mom again.
And, what?
Yeah. And, wow. And
fuck you.
So, well, I mean, but that's those are the terms. Yeah. So, you know, I didn't even really respond to it, but I started crying just because I was like, I hadn't heard from this man in God knows how long. And and this is something that ate at me throughout my life. And like when I was younger, like, you know, growing up and all that shit, not having a father in your life. And like, you know, I got involved with a lot of shit, like a lot of drugs, a lot of just making bad choices. My mother's working all the time. I never had a parent around. I had to raise myself and just grew up in the streets, like, you know, with gangbangers and shit like that. So these are people I looked up to, like, cause they were elders and, you know, and I did a lot of stupid shit in my life. Anyway, fast forward about 4 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, I'm in Los Angeles and I run into my cousin who is my father's sister's son. And it was just like out of nowhere. We were at the Los Feliz golf course, par 3, and I was playing golf with a friend of mine. And I run into he's a Scientologist, actually. And then he was with my cousin walks up, and I didn't recognize him. We start talking. He's like, oh, I'm Travis. He goes, wait a minute, Travis Taylor? Because that was my name, Travis Taylor. I changed my last name when I was 18 because fuck my dad. I hated him, and I wanted nothing to do with him.
Right, right.
So I was like, yeah. He goes, it's me, your cousin, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, shit, you know. So he's my we hung out about a year later. It was his birthday. He invites me to this little shindig at some restaurant, and my father shows up, and I was just like, oh shit, like I hadn't seen this guy forever. So he gets pretty tipsy, and he proceeds to tell me how proud he is of me and how he hears I'm doing great in comedy and how proud he is. And I'm just sitting there like, get the fuck out of here, you know, like, you know, thanks. I'm being cordial with him, but and at that point, you know, I fucking hated my dad growing up, but I realized, and this is prior to even seeing him that time, that I realized, you know, several years before that I had the greatest father I could ever had because he taught me everything I never want to be.
Oh, wow.
He said, because he was physically abusive, like extremely. He used to beat the shit out of my mom. He used to beat the shit out of us. And I just, I loved him.
Miscavige has got a history of violence against people, hitting employees. Like
yeah,
this.
But he just punches for the knees. he's a little shit. That's all. Yeah. But anyway,
That's rampant. That's part of like they didn't.
Well,
they,
I mean, I don't.
They had a course that was outside where they would force people to go run around in a circle around this palm tree in the desert.
Well, actually, there's a couple people chained to poles, and they would. That's how.
So they then they just
them.
Made them run around.
And if they'd
indoors.
Fall, they'd beat them. You get up, you keep going. My mother knew a couple people they did that to. But anyway, so my father invites me to go see my little brother's baseball games. And this was like on a Friday night, and again he was tipsy. So come Monday, I call his. Are we going on break or something?
Go ahead.
I continue after. All right. So he invites me to come to see my little brother's baseball games, and so Monday I call his office. Oh, way back when I called his office, and his secretary said, "Oh, I said it's my father," and she goes, "This Travis, listen," he said, "Don't call here, don't come around. You're no longer his son." And that's that was like the last time I talked to him, like years and years before.
Mm.
So he invites me to go see these baseball games. So I called on Monday, and he said, I said, can I speak to my father? And she transferred me. I said, hey, I'm just calling to see if you still want me to come tonight to see. He goes, well, why wouldn't I? I said, I don't know. I haven't fucking talked to you in 20 years. Mm. Wow. You know, and last time I called here, you told your secretary to tell me to not come. Like, you didn't have the fucking balls to even tell me yourself. Maybe that's why. So he's like, yeah, sure. Yeah, I want you to come.
Yes, your mother sends her affections, and she'll try and pencil you next Tuesday.
But so he invites me, and we hang out for like 4 consecutive nights, and it was just small talk at that point. And I was really just emotionally fucked whole thing, because I hadn't seen this guy in God knows how long. It would have been like, I don't know, 10, 15 years, so that last night, he says, let's go get some coffee. Cool. So we go get coffee, and we're sitting there, and we're talking, and it was like fucking amazing, because I'm seeing so much of who I am in this guy, who I don't really know.
Right. It's weird. And I had a similar kind of disconnection from Dad.
And it's we're laughing about it, and we have such similar viewpoints on so many different aspects. And then he asked me, he goes, so do you still talk to your mother? And I was like, of course. You know, she's my mom. She's always been there for me. And he says, well, I can never talk to you again after this night. And I said,
continuing that thing.
Well, I said, you know what? I already saw that coming, and that's okay. I said, and I just want you to know that I'm always going to be here for you.
Aww.
And I said, you know, it's weird because a friend of mine asked me, I told him that I talked to you and that this has been really weird for me. And my friend asked me how I felt. And I said, it was weird because I feel like I'm hanging out with a really cool neighbor who at one point used to beat and fuck my mom.
Wow.
Oh.
And I said, and if that bothers you, don't let it, because I'll be telling this story on stage in about a fucking hour.
And on this show right now.
Wow.
Nicely done. All right, more after we get back. You're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available to the iTunes Store. More after this insufferable disruption.
Good news, everyone.
That's right, fantastic news. We have a premium ad-free service. We already give you the free hour of entertainment, but the premium service will allow you to subscribe to the full 90-minute show. It's only $10 per year. We also have another option. That's the pay more if you want button. If you want to help us out and give us more money, we'll give some subscriptions away to the needy. That's right, every once in a while I get an email saying, I just can't fucking afford your $10 a year. Okay, we'll hook you up. So be generous if you can afford it. Support the show. Please go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe. What do you call Scientology for retards?
What?
Oh, your mic's not up.
Thanks
what do you call Scientology
for
retards?
What?
Scientology.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest. Or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
And now back to Ardent Atheist Nonsense You Can Believe In. We're talking with Travis Pignon and Maurice Northup. We also have Paula here. That's all we're going to do. That's her hand, you can see. I believe that's her hand.
Paula.
Can you see her hand? There you go.
My air quotes.
Paula values her life.
She does.
That's nice.
Well, Paula knows a lot about Scientology.
Not as much as someone that grew up in it.
Well, no question about that. My next question...
So you read the brochure.
My next question, actually, Paula brought up during the break, and that is, I was curious about how far along you had gotten.
I had just done, like, TR courses, like, basically, like, you sit in a fucking room, you stare at one another.
What does TR mean?
I don't even know.
Training routine.
All right.
Yeah. Paula will help us out.
Paula's going to be my translator.
I told you. Yeah.
But yeah, so basically, like, you sit in a room, like, there's different courses you do. You're on course, like, you sit and you just stare at someone. If you look away, they go, flunk, start again. Like, shit like that. Like, just really weird.
Brainwashing.
Well, I mean.
Am I wrong?
They weren't even talking to you half the time. And then other times, like, you'd have to do e-meter shit where you're holding the cans and they'd ask you questions. And
it's basically these two metal handle things.
It's a lie detector. It's a lie detector is what it is. So basically, really, if anything you say that the needle, we're like, oh, we got to check you on that. And like,
so let's be clear. Paula, do you know anything about the E-meter? Do you know what functionality it has?
To call it a lie detector is to give it the most generous...
Hold on, Maurice.
Shut the fuck up, Maurice.
Really? No. I want to break down the E-meter if we can. What do you know about it?
Okay, well, you look on Wikipedia to get how it developed. But basically, it's a skin galvanator. It detects moisture on your skin and pressure.
Okay, so that's what a lie detector does.
Yeah, and if you put lotion on your skin, you can affect its readings. If you press on the cans when they're not looking, you'll affect its readings.
It pushed the lotion on your skin.
I love seeing Michael J. Fox on one of those things.
Oh, God, that's funny.
So
it is to the lie detector what the mood ring is to marriage.
No, actually,
well, wait a minute. I'm going
to
tell you something.
Accurate for a lie detector.
It's very funny. To
but there's more subtle cues.
The fucking lie detector is to the lie detector.
Exactly.
The lie detector is bullshit.
If the lie detector is bullshit, then so is that fucking thing.
A lot of it is what you believe. If you are really a follower of Scientology and you think that this is your savior for your bridge to infinity, if the person across from you, because you can't see what the needle's doing, the
right.
person in auditing you sees it. If they're telling you something and they're saying, we still haven't gotten it yet, the needle's not floating yet, you're going to keep saying stuff.
All right, Emery and Heather, have either of you ever jerked off to a picture of Lady Diana?
I am now.
Needle says that's
well,
the truth.
There's a thing. There's a part of Scientology called OSA, right?
OSA.
So
I was going to ask if that's what your dad was in. OSA.
What's OSA stand for again?
Operation of Special Affairs, and its precursor was the Guardian's Office, which it disbanded after Operation Snow White.
That's what I want to hear about.
The IRS thing.
Yeah. Operation Snow White. Like
the largest infiltration of the United States government.
I would like to thank
and they still got tax exempt status after that.
Scientology in Moscow, very different. the thing is, like, so what they'll do is you'll be on course and like they'll ask you questions, and basically what they do is they gather information. So if you ever decide to leave the church and you're telling the deepest, darkest fucking secrets of your life, so you can be clear of all this shit and all these datings are on you.
Under the auspices of cleaning your body and mind.
They're
of
like
this,
a very small NSA.
It was me that shit in Mr. Jones's yard. I pooped in his yard.
They collect information, and basically, if you ever leave the church, they use it against you.
But I want to be clear now. As a kid going in,
well, you got to pay money if you want to be clear.
Right.
Sorry.
As a kid going in, I want to get it from another perspective, because you're describing technically what's going on.
Right.
What are you thinking? What are you being told is happening? How are you feeling through the process?
Well, I just thought it was normal. I just thought this is what people do. And you know, as a child, I think I was about 9 years old when I stopped going to course.
Did you ever ask mom what is this for? Or why are we doing this?
I don't recall.
I don't recall.
I just recall saying I don't want to do it anymore because I wanted to just be a kid and go fucking play with my friends instead of having to sit in fucking saunas and talk to assholes all day. You know, like
you wouldn't use that language if you were clear.
Why are you gonna be so suppressive?
Well, thank God.
Thank what?
Clearly broke. That's what I'd
be. Yeah, no shit. Because that is what it's all about. I mean, Paula knows this. The whole system is designed to just drain you of your money. You had never heard...
In spirit and will.
You had never heard the word Xenu at your age, right?
No, I didn't.
You didn't know anything about
souls. I mean, you got to pay a lot of money to get to that information.
Yeah, most Scientologists are not ever supposed to hear that name because they don't achieve... OT3 level, the operating Thetan level 3, which is where Xenu comes in.
And if you do hear
that
about
a lot of money
it,
to
if
get
you do
to
hear about
level.
It, you're like gonna die, and like you're gonna get all kinds of cancer. Like it's horrible. Like you know, so
like all other religions, they
use Tom, you don't even own this sports shell.
My mind is just blown here. Just all this stuff I'm hearing, I just can't even believe how people. I mean,
they start off slow.
Where do I send the invoice?
They start off slow. If they started off with the Xenu thing, nobody
would
join.
Would believe it, right?
Yeah.
But they start off slow until you start.
Well, once you're indoctrinated, then they can.
I have a crazy conspiracy theory.
What?
About Scientology.
Why would you need one?
No.
You don't need one.
This one's all.
Theory.
I've never read anything about it. This is all of my own. This is all my own.
L. Ron Hubbard shot Wayne Gacy, who then killed John Lennon.
Well, that's
anyway. What's
that's,
your what's
that's
your
assumed
theory?
To be true? But no, this is I believe this.
Say
honestly
it.
Believe it.
Stop setting it up.
I believe that Tom Cruise is David Miscavige's gay lover, and that the reason why David Miscavige's wife is like all shut in and
Shelley Miscavige, you people haven't seen in years.
Shelley Miscavige, who's in, you know, and the cops go, "Are you a prisoner?" "No, I am not a prisoner. I am here under my own will. Please leave my property. My lawyer will tell you to fuck off now."
She wants to be alone. She's terrified. Get out of here. You're threatening her.
It's pretty creepy shit.
Yeah,
man.
But I don't believe that he's a victim. Like, a lot of people think that Tom Cruise is like a victim. I believe he's complicit. I think he's a gay partner.
They told him
David Miscavige, and those two guys are butt-fucking a gay cult.
You know what? I'm pretty sure they told him if he joined Scientology, he'd grow 3 feet.
I think Miscavige got the
reports. He used to be 2.5 foot tall?
I think he got the reports, and he like, "Oh, well, I know who's needed grabbing the hot tub," and fucking magic happened.
We just need to know.
He's got a crew of people picking his beards. Tom Cruise has a crew of people, and this is a fact. This is something that's not part of my conspiracy theory. This is something we've established, that there's a crew of people within Scientology that select for him women for him to date. And that's how his, you know, last couple of failed marriages went.
Yeah, to show his heterosexuality.
Yeah, they're selecting his beard. You know, well, what are your movies this year? Well, right, we'll find the right woman.
Would you be willing to date a gay midget?
Yeah, you know, but they find the appropriate,
How do we know that's true? It is true.
How do we know? Katie Holmes has admitted to it. Nicole Kidman admitted to it.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. These are people in the know have confessed to these
things. So these two previous relationships were selected.
But my conspiracy theory
is that Katie Holmes thing was.
That's my conjecture.
I'm not sure, but I know that she definitely was like, "I need the fuck out of here," where Katie Holmes tried to leave, but she was always like, she had handlers around her all the time who wouldn't let other people talk to her.
My boyfriend's back.
But she finally, I guess her contract ran out. You know?
Apparently Tom's son is currently in...
He has a son?
Yes.
He has two adopted children with Nicole Kidman.
Right. Oh. And he's really pissed because
they're like, "Can you send me back, please?"
Yeah, right? He's really pissed because one of his sons is currently traveling in a Muslim country exploring his spiritual options.
Nice. Mm.
And
oh,
hanging out
wow.
with Muslims. That's so cool.
Well, that would terrify me. I mean, I can identify with that. Yeah.
I just want to remind one thing about like David Miscavige and Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise was friends with Shelley Miscavige and David Miscavige for years. With both of them, she officially disappeared in 2007. Basically,
air quoting that.
I'm air quoting because, I mean, she's
alive.
All
her friends, all the people in her social network,
she stopped being part of anything. Yeah, she's not part of any public thing. She's never with David Miscavige. Tom Cruise was friends with both of these people. Didn't he ever say, "Hey, David, where'd your wife go?"
Well, funny you say that. Leah Remini actually had a shindig not too long ago.
She finally left.
But I'll tell you why.
She was the wife
on the King of Queens.
Yeah.
She ran into David Miscavige at some Scientology function, and she goes, "Where's Shelley been? I haven't seen her forever." And immediately bum rushed by these people and like dragged away.
Get the fuck out. Stop asking questions.
She was like, "You know what? Fuck this. I'm done with this." And
put a man on her.
Well, pretty much she left Scientology as a result. Yeah. And Priscilla Presley, I believe, has also left thus far. Hmm. And the thing is, but she was just for asking, "Where the fuck, Shelley? Where's your wife?" And apparently that's a big, bad question. And... like, I mean, it's just creepy shit, man.
Sorry,
I mean, don't get me wrong.
You don't have to stop asking questions, but can't ask questions here. No, you got to go outside.
There's a lot of really nice people who happen to be Scientologists, but much like even the country we live in, it just sounds a lot better than it actually is.
I don't know how anybody falls for it anymore. It seems like a religion that has to eventually just peter out and die.
Well, again,
they're really big on the Narcanon. It hones in on people's
vulnerabilities. They say, "Okay, you're fucked up, or you want to do this, you want to be this in your life. Well, guess what? We can help you achieve that." And again, offering
like
the
all
easy
religions.
Answer to life. Yes, except this one costs a little more.
Yeah.
and the thing is, like, you know, that I mean, we
it's
live
the
in a country.
Brickstone
I mean,
of churches.
You got to realize this. We live in a country of stupid fucking people, man. And most people they're not educated. They're apathetic to most things going on in the world. And they can, whatever your issue is, they will prey on that. Oh,
I
you want to be a better person and save the world. Well, we do that here.
I'm not comfortable with the argument that they're stupid fucking people. I really am not. anybody. People in general. You said we live in a country of two fucking people.
Wait.
I'm not comfortable.
What about the Irish?
I'm not. I'm not comfortable with it. There's a couple reasons why.
Okay.
One of the things I don't like is the
generalizations.
No. One of the things I'm not a fan of overgeneralizations, but one of the things
keep
I don't like is the the angle of putting blaming the victim, really. I hate that I'm saying the sentence because it's that whole idea has been co-opted by some really unsavory people. But
you mean feminists?
Yeah.
No, kidding.
Yeah, I do.
You're not kidding.
Well, extreme feminists.
Yeah, well,
I'm a feminist and I refuse to give up the word feminist like I refuse to give up the word liberal. I will not be smeared or chided, and I will not be ashamed of being an atheist. I will not be ashamed of being a liberal. I will not be ashamed of being a feminist. And I will not let extremists in any of those fields take those terms away from me.
Are you ashamed of being Maurice?
You should.
Well, I know what I do all
You're
the time.
Listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available to the iTunes Store. More after this intolerable intermission. And now, a special announcement.
This is a big super shout out to a few of our listeners. Carl Barrett, Scarlett Fields, Kyle Delaney, Grave Apologist, Queen of the Patriarch.
Hey, you know what?
What?
Let's start over, because we always say hi, Mom, when it comes to Mom, but she wasn't on last week, so I'm going to do something different. Go.
This is a big super shout out to a few of our listeners. Carl Barrett.
Hi, Carl.
Scarlett Fields.
Hi, Scarlett.
Kyle Delaney.
Hi, Kyle.
Grave Apologist.
Hi, Grave.
Queen of the Patriarchy.
Hi, Queen.
Master of the Patriarchy.
Hi, Master.
I'm sorry, I said that wrong. Master of the Patriarchy.
Oh, yeah, Patriarchy. Nicely done, Master.
Six Ball.
Hi, Six.
Perry DeLilla.
Hi, Perry D.
Agnet Stuck.
Hi, Agnet.
Cameron Winters and Joe Swam.
Hi, Cameron. Hi, Joe.
Oh, God. These were some of the people chatting.
Hi, people.
Thanks for being there, everybody.
We're idiots.
I know.
All right, we're back. And now back to Ardent Atheist. Nonsense you can believe in. We're talking with Travis Pignon, Maurice Northup, and
Lola.
Thanks for being here, everybody.
Okay.
Keep it down, Paula.
Let's hear about this. Jesus. Let's hear about this IRS, right? Scandal.
Yeah, Operation Snow White. The church, in an effort, this was before they had tax exempt status, sent agents to infiltrate the United States government. There were convictions. L. Ron Hubbard's
wife
went to prison. These are not
L. Ron Hubbard's wife went to prison.
Mary Sue Hubbard.
For infiltrating the United States government.
Old Mother Hubbard went to prison?
Yes. Yes.
Very well played, sir. Very well played. But you know, the funny thing is that they ended up only having, like, because they had, like, tax evasion, all this shit, they ended up only having to pay, I believe they owed something like $165 million in back taxes, but only ended up having to pay $10 million. And a friend of mine, who is a hardcore declared SP, like, probably one of the biggest, this guy, Jerry Armstrong, who's not like, he...
Come on, was that just an assumed name after he became a big badass?
No, it's his name.
That's his name, all right.
But he has a theory that they could have deal with the United States government because their tactics rivaled that of the CIA in regard to harassment and surveillance. And, like, they're fucking, like, Scientology's no joke. And, I mean, you know, and it's really unfortunate that I think if a lot of Scientologists, I know they're very intelligent people. I just think if they had the information, they would know to walk away, but a lot of people are kept from that.
Yeah.
And much like, you know, I mean, a lot of things going on in this world, but...
And they're constantly pressured by the apparatus and the environment around them.
It's very totalitarian.
Their focus and their ability to perceive their own situation is constantly sabotaged by their predicament, which is, well, what have you done for this? You know, Elron, you know, he would sleep for 2 hours a week, and he would be able to do this and that and the other, and he flew stunt planes, and he was a miracle man. Why are you such a fuck up that you need to sleep?
Elron always supersizes meals.
Yeah. Why you gotta punk out, bitch?
So, I mean, really, you're describing the classic brainwashing processes.
Pretty much, yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
And it's...
But made to a Scientology.
Not just brainwashing, but... fear-mongering.
Well, fear-mongering...
Well, that's the American way.
It is the American way, baby. It has all of the earmarks of a religion. It also has the
except not as much kid fucking.
Yeah, a little less kid fucking.
Yeah,
a little less.
I'm pretty.
Kids ain't got no money.
I mean, you know. Well, the different kind of fucked. But the thing is, like, you know, I know people who were in the Sea Org who are my age who now who got kicked out of the Sea Org, and they've told me they're current Scientologists, and but they've told me about like some horrific abuse that they've witnessed within seeing, like, you know, other kids just get the shit beat out of them because they're out of ethics or whatever the fuck the case may be, and that's what made them want to leave the sea or get out of the sea or get intentionally right. kicked out. But the thing is that everyone they know are Scientologists, so they can't walk away from it because their whole lives as they know it would be in ruins.
Yeah.
And I understand also, like, someone like my father who's a brilliant man, but he's just, when all you've ever known is this and everyone you know is this, how do you come to terms with being able to walk away from? That's fucking scary.
All religions suffer from this equation. You know, yeah. Every one of them.
And except for Christians, because Christians will take you no matter what.
Well, it's magical.
I mean, so I understand why people would even still be in it even after finding out a lot of information, because you'd have to completely change your everything you know
right.
about your life. I mean, and for
I imagine there's a lot of denial going on.
It's right? not just about belief; it's identity. I mean, these are the people you hang out with. These are the people you're around.
And it's like you know, like Maurice and I were comedians, right? So we talk about the shows we do and this and that. But this is something they all relate to, and they could talk about how high they are on the bridge and use fucking certain terms with one another. And it's like it's a camaraderie that they have. And I totally understand why people would even find out some of this shit and turn a blind eye to it, because it's easier to not have to deal with it than it is to realize that everything you know is fucking horseshit.
It seems to me that in the information age, everybody has an iPhone in their hand these days and an iPad. It seems to me
And hence why I say stupid, because in an information age as such, you don't have a fucking excuse to be a complete fucking moron.
Yeah,
there is information out there, and if you choose to be ignorant, then you're stupid.
Paula, do you know if the religion is growing, shrinking, staying the same?
All indications are that it's shrinking, and for the Sea Org, every time I go to any of the Sea Org buildings, most Sea Org either were born into it, Scientology, because they highly recruit
from
the
childhood,
youth,
yeah,
the children of a Scientology members.
They put a book of Dianetics in utero.
Or like at the Celebrity Center, most of the Sea, and that's a Sea Org operation too. Those are people that have signed the billion-year contract that work there.
Let's back
there.
Up.
Yeah.
They have a billion-year contract?
It's like Sprint.
You come back lifetime after lifetime to help save the sector of the galaxy.
Save the planet.
Right.
Yeah.
There's no God.
No God.
What is Xenu?
He's Xenu like their devil.
Xenu was an intergalactic warlord who 65 billion years ago had basically captured a bunch of people and threw them in volcanoes.
Right.
He was trapped in a volcano. So then,
he's trapped in a volcano now.
He's trapped
now.
In a volcano, yeah.
He's trapped by a volcano now with, like, a magnetic
thing. I think
he was,
trying to buy a ring.
Through the, all these evil people were trapped in this volcano, but through the...
Spirits
got out of the volcano. So every time something bad happens, yes, Thetans. Every time something bad happens,
didn't he fill a volcano with he flew all of these souls, air quotes,
in an airplane
in
with jet
D-50s.
And he also used atom bombs. It wasn't just the volcanoes.
DC-10s. What?
It wasn't just volcanoes. He also put atom bombs
in there to blow them up.
Yeah. Their souls were caught by these soul catchers, and then they were given these fake movies like about
fucking
Jesus
Native
and
Americans
Muhammad
fucking up the shit
like
with their
all these false memories.
Oh wait, those are dream catchers.
And then the souls were released.
Never mind. I take back my hatred for them.
Hold on, back up. I want to hear this.
Yes, Maurice, shut the fuck up.
I'm serious.
So they give
Paula.
They take all these souls from these destroyed aliens because basically the universe was too populated, and that's what Xenu's thing was, to grab all these people and kill them in the volcanoes, captured their souls, gave their souls false memories, and then all these souls are attached to our ancestors. And we don't have just one soul. We have, like, all of them. So if you got an elbow pain, that could be from a body thetan.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Wow. So you got to have an auditing to get rid of that.
Right.
Oh, that's nice.
And then
I had an interrupter thetan.
Yeah, no shit.
No, like five of them.
We can get rid of that.
You know how much I paid to get rid of blue balls?
I
fucking horrible.
You got blue ball thetans?
So sometimes.
Mm-hmm. But he's supposed
to
be still
around. So these are souls that are stuck to people.
Right. So if you get sick or if something bad happens to you, it's because these thetans have made that happen. So you take these courses to get them removed from you little by little. But they keep coming back to you.
So they believe that they can get rid of cancer thetans?
They believe that if you have cancer, you brought it on yourself. And if you're sick,
that's
if you're
probably
no,
true,
no, no,
actually.
I'm serious. Or if
no, it's
you're,
probably
no, no,
true
no,
with
like,
cancer.
Like you willed it, or if you're retarded, it's because you want to be. Because
you want to be,
and that you're
Maurice does not want to be retarded.
You don't know that. You don't know that.
I like him that way. That's how I prefer him.
Poor Maurice.
You know, we use.
I wish I was retarded. Honestly, I would love to be retarded. I feel like I would fit in so much more with fucking people.
Sam is offended for
retards
everywhere.
Because
that's what it takes.
They're called paleo.
I'm a Scientologist. We are Scientologists.
Oh, Scientology on ice.
Yep.
I love this one.
Another comedy.
It's time to celebrate the joy of the season as Brant Productions presents a very merry unauthorized Church of Scientology pageant running until December 30th at St. Stephen's Theater, 10th and Ludlow Street.
This is awesome. I've never seen it.
The show is much like the traditional...
You don't see a lot of black Scientologists.
...only with aliens.
What's that about? Oh, they ain't got no money.
Wendy Rosenfield of Blue Fire says the musical numbers are catchy and entrancing, and that the production emerges triumphant, retaining its innocent sense of inquiry and buoyant good humor while making some pretty serious philosophical points.
Wow.
That show sucks. I wouldn't pay to see that shit.
Please tell me you made that yourself.
Those kids have no movie. Look at them. They're not even sick. You kids are terrible.
That's because they have no blacks.
Why isn't David Miscavige beating those children?
That's David Miscavige on the left.
Oh, the short one. Thanks for pointing that. Now I see him. You're right.
All right, So what is this we're seeing?
I know what you're thinking, but it's not what you're thinking.
What is it?
This is a production of a very merry unauthorized children's Scientology pageant, which is a comedy.
Yeah.
Nice.
Where the kids play, there's an L. Ron Hubbard character, there's the...
Put on by the church.
No.
No.
Okay, so it's like
it's
the Book of Mormon...
Yes,
for Scientology.
It's satire,
oh, nice.
And it's all told by children, and it's done at Christmas time, that's and it's a big Scientology pageant. That particular show, I was the stage manager for.
Wow.
It was awesome.
Girl,
and there was
it's called
one,
the Book of Dianetics.
There was one black kid in there, so shit.
All right.
It's satire, and it's told by children. It's
that's
really, really
awesome. That's so funny.
It's really good.
Now I know what to get my dad for Christmas. Guys, some tickets.
And they go through the thetans, and they have the little, what do you call it?
E-meter.
They have a
an emery meter.
E-meter that they make out of cardboard, and they're just like,
here,
just
put
your hands
on the e-meter. I like how my Midwestern background, like, oh, milking a cow?
E-meter. That's the hand gesture I was making.
I just wanted to, when we get back to the Celebrity Center and the billion-year contract, so most of the people I saw that were a Sea Org were second-generation Scientologists. But also at some place like the Celebrity Center, almost everyone that I saw there was from a foreign country.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And so the belief is, with nothing to back it up, that Scientology holds on to their passports for them as well.
Oh, so it's like Dubai.
Wow.
Oh.
I can't prove that.
Right.
This is supposition. It's
the theory
what I've heard.
It's a theory.
Our theory hypothesis, I don't know, but there's been cases of...
mail order gone bad.
Parents that have come here to try and get their kids back, and... They can't even find
that's what Jim
where
Jones did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The passport.
Yeah. At least he served Kool-Aid.
You know what? You know what? Fuck that shit. It was Flavor-Aid. It was Flavor-Aid.
Was
and
it
I'm
without
really?
The sugar.
I'm
without
tired
the sugar.
Of Kool-Aid getting fucking maligned.
That's the worst way to go.
Yeah. No sugar.
Good
no
good
sugar.
Shit.
An
you
asshole.
Died. Fucking wow. The ghetto Flavor-Aid.
It was shitty.
So all you ghetto kids out there that are listening to the podcast, tell your mom.
If I had a cold, I'd serve Scissorp.
Yeah, get the good stuff.
Kill everybody.
Ask
with scissor.
For the Kool-Aid.
Wow.
Oh my God, what happened?
So, any plans to talk to Dad?
What do you mean?
Beyond
you
now,
talk to him today.
Oh, you talked to him today.
I talked to him.
Yeah,
all
but
the time.
He said he won't. But he said he won't
the
talk
last,
anymore.
Yeah.
No. We thus far started a
when did that start?
About a year and a half ago.
And how did you come together? You're going to tell us that in the premium portion of the show. That's it for the free hour. We'll be making the full 90 minutes available to our premium subscribers very soon. I want to thank our guests, Travis Pignon, Maurice Northup, and Paula.
What?
That's all. One name, Paula. Like Cher or Teller. I also want to thank my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson, and our video switcher, Samantha Kramer. Tune in next week when our guests will be
aliens,
and we'll be talking about
ghosts.
What? I don't know if that's
true.
Guys, this has been the free version of episode 158, another show that went off without a hitch. We miss you, Hitch. I'm your host, Emery Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson. Our theme music, courtesy of the sound editor of The Aristocrats, Eric Wilson. And special thanks to our digital publicist and web guru, Cameron Travolta Winters.
Where can people...
Wait.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And our wall of reason moderator, Joseph Cruz Swam.
Oh, yeah, Cruz. I forgot to... Yeah. Where can people find you? Do you want people to find you?
Yeah, that's fine. I know I'll be at the Parlor next week, Monday night.
Is there
Jay
a Twitter
Davis.
Account or a website?
Oh, yeah, you can see me on Travis Pignon at Twitter, Travis Pignon on Instagram, and Travis Pignon on Facebook.
There you go. Where can people find you, Maurice?
My next project will be November 9th in Tucson, Arizona. It'll be the first annual Walt Maxim fundraiser for wounded veterans.
And Paula, no one can find you anywhere.
Not unless you're snorkeling on Laguna Beach is where I am.
Some characters mentioned in this podcast are completely fictitious. Any resemblance to real persons living or dead is purely wishful thinking. You've been listening to Ardent Atheist. Ardent Atheist is a product.
Pignon.
Gotcha, bitch.